This subject has been in my mind for a while now. If you can see my screen there, I put a comment at the beginning. It says, I wonder if you have ever desired to really know what worship is from a biblical perspective. And I'm sure that many of us can think of in that sense that we have been worshiping. I'm not suggesting that we are not worshiping, but there are times that we think, am I really worshiping? Am I making any mistake? Am I not doing the right way? So those kind of questions comes in our mind from time to time. It has happened to me, I should say at least. Perhaps some of you may be much more learned on the subject of worship. But then I started looking at the subject and looking at the scriptures. So my intention is to get what the Bible teaches about worship and nothing else. No intention to make any personal suggestion. We will simply look at what the scripture says about worship to the best of our understanding. Just today, mostly, it may be a mostly an introductory part, but we will try to get some meat towards the end, given our limited time. The number of times the word worship or worshiping or different forms of the word, I just gave it here as a, just for the sake of information only. And it is taken from the King James Version as according to Strong's Concordance. So the worship word comes about 108 times. If you have a different translation, that number may change. Those numbers may change, but it doesn't matter. Basically, the reason I put it there is to get an idea. Worshipped about 70 times, worshipper 2 times, worshippers 7 times, and worshipeth in the old English 6 times, and worshipping 5 times. So it's about 198 times in that one translation alone this word is used. So the reason I put that number up at the very beginning is it gives us an idea that worship is a very prominent subject in the scriptures. And we see that as we open the book from almost at the very beginning of Genesis and all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. As we've been studying from the book of Revelation recently also, we saw that worship has been a theme even in that book. So these numbers doesn't mean anything by the number itself, but the idea is it is a very, very important and prominent subject in the scripture. Now we, just some words of introduction. Where do we turn for the right answer? If I have to know what worship is, should I buy some books and read, or where do we turn? The answer, of course, is turn to the scriptures. And the primary reason why we go to the scripture first, I'm not suggesting we should not use any other helpful books written on this subject, but it, our primary intention to find answers on this subject or even any other subject should be to the scripture itself. And especially in this situation, because the one whom we worship is the God of the Bible. He is the one whom we are worshiping. Therefore, we must go to the Bible itself to get the answers how to worship or even to understand the subject of worship. As we go through the scripture looking at this particular subject, the very first thing we notice, generally speaking, is the simplicity of worship. God did not make a complicated system of worship. Throughout, we can see the examples. We will look at some of them today, if possible. It is very simple, and the simplicity doesn't mean it is not important. It is an awesome privilege, a highly important part of our Christian life. But we notice one thing: is simplicity in worship. As we know, generally speaking, there the modern times, people have changed what real worship is. Everybody has their own idea what worship means, and they add, subtract, or modify and make it interesting. I should say the word interesting in worship. That is not a problem of the modern days, but it has happened in all ages. If you look through the history of church history, or even the Old Testament time, people have always changed what real worship is, and also the God whom they worship. Everybody has their own ideas, and they come up with some sort of things. That is true even in other religions. You know, all religions' primary goal is to worship God, whom they think God is. For me and you, we need to simply look at in our study, are we wrong in the simplicity we observe? Are we missing out on something? These are some things that we probably will learn as we go on with this. Do we need to change anything to and align with the modern trend? But our intention this evening, and as I go forward, we will only look at the biblical pattern and have no intention, personally I don't, to criticize or condemn anyone. Who is right or who is wrong is to judge is not my intention. That is definitely for the Lord to do. Is it possible to understand what true worship is? This is our intention to look at it. Is it possible? Are there many methods which God is equally pleased with? Will the amount of books written on this subject, will they give any answers to us to get a good understanding? As we know, there are many, many books written on this subject. Someone suggested that there are well over 5,000 books with the word worship in the title. So there's a lot of writings on this subject. Yeah, that itself says that it is a very key, important subject. What is individual worship? These are some of the things we will try to learn as we go on. What is corporate worship or the assembly worship? Now, in the books that I mentioned earlier, here is just about five of them. Just to give you an idea what they are talking about, I'm not criticizing any of them because I haven't read it. That is my next statement. These are some books. It's called The Dangerous Act of Worship, Worship Evangelism, Emerging Worship, The Worship Warrior, The Worship Source Book, etc. There are all these kinds of books are available to those who like to do. But when we see titles like this, Christians, not only on this subject, any subject, when somebody writes a book, we should raise the flag first, irrespective of who the author is. We should understand what the book is trying to teach, but do not judge without reading it. We must read it to get a good understanding, and then alone we can really judge whether the book is right or wrong. But it should be always judged in terms of the biblical principles. And the next thought there in my notes is, in an age where entertainment is the norm for all activities of life, you will probably agree with me on that. If you notice, every part of life, entertainment has become a part of it. And sadly, that also includes worship. And therefore, it is good to revisit the word of God from time to time. One must look at the whole Bible to understand how to worship. We cannot just pull one verse and say, okay, this is how we worship. I wish there was a single verse answer to this. To understand worship, we should look at the entire Bible. Different ideas and things that the Lord wants us to learn how to worship. So the entire scripture must be taken into account. It is possible that we may have been taught that a certain way is the right way to worship, including in the, within the assemblies. I can see, I have talked to even people who come from various assemblies. They all have different ideas what worship really means. In my young age, I heard people make comments about the Lord's Supper. If they did not take part in the Lord's Supper that day, they will come back and say, so and so, let me, okay, if it is me, they will say, George did not worship today. Well, is Lord's Supper worship? Definitely it is. But is that all? So it is some misunderstanding in certain circles. The Lord's Supper, part, taking part from the bread and the cup is interpreted as worship. We do worship during that time. We do worship in the remembrance of meeting. We do worship when we remember him. But worship in itself goes far beyond it. As we go through, we will come to that. So we all have certain growing up backgrounds how to worship. change the screen for you here. Now, let's try to understand the meaning of the word worship from the scripture itself. First thing we notice in the Bible, worship is always a verb. You know what that means? A verb means it is an action or something that we do. That is the word attached to these following two verses that I have quoted here. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 2, this is about Abraham. So he lifted his eyes and looked. Behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. You don't see the word worship there, but that is what he was doing. He was bowing down and worshiping. It is an act or something that Abraham did to worship. The same word is translated in Genesis 22, verse 5, where it says, I will go yonder and worship. So it is an act of doing something or something that we do in these passages that we just looked at. Excuse me, my throat is itching, so I'll be drinking. So in each of these instances, we see one thing, a theme that we see in everything that we would look, we looked at least these two instances, as well as the ones that we'll be considering going forward. Here is something that you can see is, we see the idea of lifting up another by reducing the focus on self, recognizing the worthiness of the one we are lifting up. Try to understand that part. We see the idea of lifting up another, not only just simply lifting up another, but also reducing oneself by recognizing the worthiness of the one we are lifting up. This is what exactly Abraham did in both cases that we just referred to. When he bowed down himself, he was reducing himself. He saw them in a distance. He got up from his seat and went to them and bowed down. And then he worshiped, exalting the one person and reducing ourselves. Unfortunately, sometimes there can be a tendency among us, by us, we see, we talk too much about ourselves. I have attended so-called worships in other denominations, even some assemblies. People will come and give testimonies about their sickness, their sorrows, their travel, and their job promotions, all kinds of things. They are all good things to say and give thanks to the Lord. But those are more focusing on the self. Worship should be one that will focus on the one whom we are lifting up and recognizing the worthiness of him. That is what Abraham did. As soon as he saw them, he recognized it, the worthiness of him, and he went and worshipped him. We will be looking at a few original language words. I am not an expert on these, only a few words. I won't bombard you with that kind of words, but just to understand the meaning of the word in the next slide. There are several related words that are related to worship. One is thusia, to sacrifice, that's the meaning, or the act of worship. And we shall see that in 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and as well as Hebrew chapter 10. These places, the same word is thusia is used. Now we see another word that says phosphora, that means to offer up or to bring to. We see those in Hebrews 8:3 and verse 11:4. And eusebo, bio, act piously towards. We read that in Acts 17, verse 23. I'm sorry, I don't have all the words posted here, but you generally understand what we are talking about. All these words denoting that there is an action involved. To sacrifice, there is an action. To act an offering, to offer up, there is an action. Act piously toward someone, there is an action. So there is an action involved in all this. One thing interestingly I noticed is the word worship, the particular word is only used twice in relation to the church in the epistles. If Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship in God in spirit. This is in relation to the church. And the second passage is in 1 Corinthians 14:25. It says, if an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in or come in your assembly, he is convinced by all and he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. That is a very important verse. This is talking about an unbeliever coming into the assembly and he observes what's going on. He is convicted of it, and as well as the truth that we are doing. But here's the word that we use is falling down on his face, he will worship God. You are probably aware of a religion that falls down physically about 5 times a day. They are trying to worship. So the general idea here is it is an act that is involved in worship. Am I suggesting we should all fall down? No, not necessarily. But we'll come to that as we understand that more as we go on. Now, some more related words and definitions. Church is related to this, our study on the subject of worship. This word, as understood by many as church, is foreign to the scriptures. People look at a building and say, this is the church I go to, or I am from that church, or I am coming back from this church. Or sometimes they may be, in some cases, they may be talking about a denomination that they are into. So all these were understanding of the church, it is very foreign to the scriptures. You and I very well know what that means, so I will not take too much time. For many, cultural idea, it is simply a building called church. This is in the culture of the people around us today. When you come to the scriptures, we know this, uses the word ecclesia, which simply means called out ones. As simple as that. It simply identifies those who have been called out from the world by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the word church, when in relation to the subject of worship, when we talk about I went to church to worship, or when, what does that mean? What is in our mind when we say that? This is simply the word uses in the scripture is called out once, coming together to remember. So another word that we very often look at in relation to worship is the word offering. First thought for everyone on this word is money. When we talk about offering, most of the time the first thought comes to our mind is talking about money given to church. Well, that is that true? Yes, it is true. But the word means a lot more than giving money. Generally, it means to bring to present, to sacrifice, to give, etc. That is the meaning of the word offering. We see, we remember the offerings of Cain and Abel. They brought offering in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. One offered an animal, the other one offered the from the garden, the first fruit of his. But they brought offerings to the Lord. Abraham's burnt offering, we read about chapter 22 and verse 13. It is in relation to where he offered his son, he went to offer his son, but he offered a burnt offering. So the word offering comes there again. Now we read in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, that Jesus Christ offering himself as a sacrifice. So he offered himself, our Lord Jesus Christ himself. I know I'm going a little fast here. Then another word that relates to worship is the word priest. Who is a priest? We know from the Old Testament, a priest is defined by the Bible as is an individual that offers sacrifices. Leviticus chapter 1 to 7, seven chapters widely talk about it. He is the one who will bring a sacrifice to the Lord, and he is the one who will offer sacrifices to the Lord. But a priest in the Old Testament is by birth into a particular family. Now, Numbers chapter 1, verse 52-54. These are some of the things that we know. I'm quickly passing through just to get the definitions and the words together. As you know, we agree together that today God no longer adds priests by physical birth. That was the case during the Old Testament. But since then, things changed. Today, God adds priests by spiritual birth. It is still by birth. The Old Testament time, it was a physical birth in a particular family. But today, it is a spiritual birth. You and I are counted as priests and the privilege of priesthood, and which we read very extensively, clearly in the writings of Peter. To be a priest, one must be born again into the family of God. These are simple statements that we know. Everyone who is born into the family of God is a priest who has the privilege to offer sacrifices. Those who trust in him are priests who can offer sacrifices. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, 2 verse 5 and 9. These are very familiar verses that we are not taking too much time to read them. Now, the other next word or statement that we are more common understanding in our mind is communion and the Lord's Supper. This word is often misused by Christendom in general. I'm not talking at assemblies or even me. Communion comes from the word koinonia, which means fellowship. We looked at that earlier. The word communion simply means fellowship. Fellowship is through remembering Christ's death and partaking of the bread and wine in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. These are, I thought of reading some verses, but these are verses that are very familiar to us. We have fellowship in remembering the Lord and partaking of the bread and the wine this even this morning as we did. Unfortunately, many in the Christendom today see that communion as the act of worship. That in itself is not an act of worship, it is the remembrance of him, but we do worship at the time. But although communion in the during the Lord's Supper, we do worship, but there is much more to it. Now, the other words that are used are, I'm going to meet, or meeting place. I went to the meeting today. The word meet does not occur in the New Testament in relation to the local assembly gathering. There is no word directly related to the assembly. Word generally used are assemble or come together. In 1 Corinthians 11, we see about five times the same word used when you come together, referring to the assembly gathering. So the words assemble or come together is used in the scripture, not meet or meeting place. Thus, when the church meets together, it is an assembly of the called out ones. Now, another word that is very accustomed to many are the word service. When we come after the meeting in the morning, when we say, how was the service today? So what does that mean? Many are accustomed to this term service, generally speaking. The Bible emphasizes the idea of action involving ministry in the word service or in serving the assembly. That is the scriptural meaning of service. Did we have a service this morning in the sense of this sense? Probably not, other than the word ministry that we had. So when we say service or worship service, we sometimes often hear that statement. Then the scriptural meaning, the word service simply means serving in the word or serving the assembly one way or the other. And then we come across another word. These are some of the words that we looked at. The word worship, but these are not direct connected word, but these are related words with the word worship, or we see in the scriptures. Now we'll take a little time. We don't have much left before us. Look at some examples of worship in the Old Testament. Perhaps with that we will close for tonight. Some examples. These are examples that is very familiar to us. First one is Abel and Cain, which we already referred to earlier. Chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, we read that both of these people brought an offering, as we saw earlier. Chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Well, there may be questions why it is not one accepted and one is not accepted. This is a different subject, but definitely one was more selfish, or and the other one was shedding blood. Both of them brought offering, a form of worship. First offering was voluntary. Second, it must be appropriate offering to worship. Now, today, how sad men and women today worship in the flesh, such as Cain did. Cain's action was more of the flesh, and Abel's was different. Now, thirdly, the offering was brought to God. It was not something that they stay home and burned offering, they offered in the backyard. But they brought it to God, wherever that place could be, and they brought it to him. So if offering is voluntary, offering is a worship to him, and offering was also brought to God. We must note that the offering had a cost to the individual. This thought was really challenged to my heart. What does it cost me to worship him? Sometimes many of us, I should say, somehow get up at 6 or 7 o'clock or maybe 8 or 8:30 and they put on the clothes and go with no preparation and no cost involved other than maybe the gas driving. There is cost involved in the worship as we see here, in the example of Abel and Cain. We'll come to Noah. Very lot more information in that. He first thing he did in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, he worshipped right after the flood. When he came out of the ark, his first action was to worship God. What did he do? He built an altar, an action involved, reminding our approach to God and worship. As a renewed man, now he passed from the judgment, he came out of the ark as a new man walking on the earth. Worshipping came first. Beloved, I don't know what your priority is. We should have the priority in worship God at all cost. I'm not going to put me on a pedestal, but some years ago, me and my wife decided, if at all possible, read the word, if at all possible, we will not do anything that will stop me on a Sunday morning to be among God's people. Whether it be travel, whether it be doing something or going somewhere or wedding or whatever it is, we will not do anything that will stop me to go to the Lord's table on a Sunday morning. What is our priority? This man, his number one priority was to worship God. So any acceptable sacrifice is a sweet-smelling savor to God. In that same chapter, verse 21, God accepts a sacrificial worship offered unto him. It is a sweet-smelling savor to God. It ascends into heavens and brings glory and honor to him, and it pleases him. Noah's building the altar on the mountain denotes a nearness to God. Just a side thought, he offered the offering on the top of the mountain. It denotes a nearness to God. We do worship and we bring our sacrifice to him, into drawing ourselves close to him. The writer of Hebrews says, draw close to him. And we have the privilege to do that. Notice the animals were also clean. In that passage, we will see that the animals offered were clean, picturing the perfection of our Lord Jesus. When he offered himself, there was absolutely nothing, lack of perfectness in him. So the offering was also clean as Noah offered. Worship requires preparation to give. It was not very easy for Noah to just come out and kneel down and worship. He had to build an altar. He had to go find the clean animals, bring them down to the altar, kill them, pour the animal's blood, and put him on the altar and burn him. It is all involving preparation and sacrifice and work involved in all this. Sometimes when I was looking at this myself, I said, wow. Sometimes is there any cost involved, like Abel's case we were looking at. So here's an example of worship. There's a lot more if you read through the passage that we can go through. Perhaps we will begin to look at one more, and then we will close. After that, we'll pick up next week, Lord willing. Coming to Abraham, in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 7 and 8, in both verses, he built an altar in two different places. He pitched his tent. So wherever he moved his tent from one place to the other, the number one thing Abraham did was worship. Means that was his highest priority in the list. Not to go to the grocery store and make sure that everything is available at home, and which is all good. We must do all that. But where is my priority? Is my question that I asked myself. He pitched tent wherever he moved, and he built the altar and worshipped. He never left the tent. As we know, he keep on moving his tent from place to place. But Lord started in a tent. What happened to him? He ended up in a house. Abraham was probably one of the richest men at the time. I don't have any financial calculations, but he had, counting all the laborers and the help and the animals that he had, he was probably a richest man. He could have easily built a mansion somewhere and be done with it. But he kept moving his tent. But Lord also started, he had a good beginning, but he ended up in a house. We know the story there. Which denotes that you and I, we are all sojourners and pilgrims. We worship as if we are in the wilderness. We worship as if we are in the wilderness because we are sojourners and pilgrims on this earth. Now we also see one of his tent was between Bethel and Ai. You know the meaning of Bethel? Bethel means house of God, and Ai means heap of ruins. God placed him in a place between the two, the house of God and heap of ruins. But he never stopped worshiping in that journey. Our worship should approach God by leaving behind the world. That is a very serious thought. I am perhaps guilty of some of these things myself. When we are approaching God in worship, we bring along the things of this world, the cares and the worries and thoughts of life creeps into our mind and takes away and robs the opportunity to worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. So these are some of the things that we learned from Abraham's worship. And this is very true. It should be very true in all of our worship. I think I will pause here. Our time is up. Lord willing, we'll come back and continue. So look at some more examples of worship as we see in the scriptures and learn more lessons from it. And I hope it is helpful to you as it is to me. It is not very an exciting subject. It is very hard to make it an exciting subject because it's a serious matter. So hopefully you enjoyed what we are looking together, and Lord willing, we will continue next week. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this evening. Truly, you are our God. Oh God, we pray that you may help us as we go through these verses and the series, that we may be better worshipers, true worshipers, and we bring glory and honor to you, and our life and priority may be in the highest one to worship the Lord. We commit us to the throne of grace for all of the saints of God who are online at this moment. We pray for thy help and strength for the rest of the evening and the remainder of the week until we meet again. May thy presence be with us. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.